The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. In response to charges that he is possessed, Jesus wonders aloud how anyone who is demon-possessed can cast out demons. Those who do the will of God are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Sisters and brothers of Christ. I begin reading at verse 20. And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons he cast out demons." And they called them to him, and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed, the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "Quick, hide, he's coming." Adam and Eve could hear the footsteps of God coming closer. God came closer and he saw the bushes rattling. He said, "Adam, Eve, come on out. You don't need to hide from me." Adam, Eve, come on out. Adam says, "We can't." God says, "Why? We're naked." "What? Who told you that? Have you been eating from that tree I told you not to eat from?" I don't know." Adam, "Well, it's not my fault. She made me do it. And you made her." Eve, "What's going on here?" "Well, it's not my fault either. It's that blasted snake. He tricked me. He said they were on sale." Adam and Eve were standing there naked. They were exposed. God knew what they had done. We've all been there at one point or another. We've been caught red-handed doing something that we know that we're not supposed to be doing. Maybe it was as a child as you stole that cookie right before dinner time. Or maybe it was coming out of the bathroom and you forgot to zip up your fly, or you got a piece of toilet paper hanging on your shoe or your clothing. Or maybe somebody caught you cheating on your diet. Or maybe somebody found you smoking a cigarette after you had quit smoking cigarettes. We've all been caught at one thing or another. We've been caught red-handed. And when we're caught like that, we feel naked. We feel exposed. We feel vulnerable. We feel shameful. And a lot of times when that happens, all we want to do is curl up in a little ball. We want to cringe and we want to hide. We want to get away. We want that situation to go away from us. and hope everybody forgets. We just simply want to hide from it. A salesman called the house, and a quiet little voice answered the phone. "Hello? Hello? What's your name?" "My name's Jimmy." "Jimmy, how old are you?" "I'm 4. "Jimmy, is your mom home?" "Yeah, she's home, but she's busy." "Well, how about your dad? Is he home? Can he talk on the phone?" "Yeah, dad's home too, but he's also busy." "Well, Jimmy, is there anybody else in the house?" "Yeah, the police are here." "The police? Well, can I talk to one of them?" "They're busy too." "Are there any other grown-ups in your house?" "Yeah, the firemen are here too." "Well, can I talk with one of them?" "No, they're busy too." "Well, Jimmy, all these grown-ups in your house, they're all busy. What are they doing?" "They're looking for me." Sometimes we just want to hide. We want to get away because we've been exposed. We've been caught. We are embarrassed of what's going on and what's happening. And we want to get away from it. Our gospel lesson this morning is somewhat about embarrassment as well then too. Jesus' family was embarrassed for Jesus. And as we look at this story, this is fairly early in Jesus' ministry. But yet he's still already getting a name, a reputation. And he's been traveling around the region of his hometown. And now he goes into his hometown. And there the people really do know him. And he's talking about all these new things and has these new ideas, these things that people have never heard of before or never even thought of before. Jesus grew up with these people. He ate the same food they did. He played with these kids when he was growing up. He went to school with them. They went to synagogue together. What's all this stuff that Jesus is saying? And some of the people were just soaking it in. They thought this was great. This is wonderful. Other people thought, where'd he get these crazy ideas? We know he didn't get them from us. Not from here. Not from this hometown he didn't get these things. He's crazy. And then the scribes coming up from Jerusalem, they heard him speaking too. And they were getting upset as well. This was new. This isn't what they taught. He has no credentials. He has no business teaching. He's messing up the people. And people are actually listening to him. Scribes were starting to get a little bit jealous of what Jesus was saying and the popularity that they had. And so they started accusing him of being a demon. And Mary and his brothers and sisters would have nothing to do with this. And so they come marching through the crowd and they have a speech prepared for Jesus, ready to go. "Jesus, get on into this house this minute. Quit saying these things. You're embarrassing us. It's getting to the point where we can't even go to the beauty parlor anymore. Can't drink a cup of coffee down at the Dairy Queen. Everybody's talking about us. It's embarrassing. Quit doing this. Get on into the house." St. Paul has something else to say about being embarrassed or about being exposed or about being bold. He's saying, because we believe, we speak. There's always consequences to our actions. With Adam and Eve, the consequences of their actions were that they were kicked out of that Garden of Eden, that Adam had to work for a living, hard labor, and Eve, when she gave in childbirth, the pain was greatly increased. For Jesus, the consequences were that many people did believe, but then at the same time, his enemies did get their way as well then too and had him arrested and crucified. But also as a consequence of that then too, Jesus brought salvation into this world. For St. Paul, as he was bold to speak, as he proclaimed that gospel, he too suffered consequences. He was arrested on several occasions. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was shipwrecked. And eventually, too, he gave up his life for proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. But those weren't the only consequences. St. Paul knew that God was with him, and that's what God had called him to do. And because he believes, because he incorporated that faith into his whole life, he knew that he was doing the right thing. He knew he was doing what God called him, and in that came boldness and courage to face any of those negative consequences that he might face. And he also knew that this world in which we live is temporary. It's only a temporary home. He calls it a tent. He calls it a tent. But he says there is a new home, a building that is set in place for us, a building where we will live in eternal life. But even though Paul faced these negative consequences here on this earth, there were many also positive things as he went about proclaiming the gospel. For one, there were many people who did believe, who came to faith because of his preaching and his teaching and because of his ministry. We too are called to go out and be bold. Because we believe, we too speak. We can't play it safe. We need to take risks. Otherwise, there is no harvest. Two farmers were talking, and one farmer asked the other one, "Well, how's your corn crop this year?" "Didn't plant none." "Why not?" "Afraid of corn blight." "Well then, how about your wheat? How's that doing?" "Didn't plant none." "Why not?" "Didn't think we'd get enough rain this year." "Well, what did you plant? What crops you got out there?" "Didn't plant anything. I'm playing it safe." When we play it safe, there is no harvest. We may not suffer consequences or those negative consequences that we might face if we go out there and be bold. I mean, people a lot of times may reject us. They may laugh at us as they laughed at Jesus. They may call us crazy even. But there's also those consequences that other people will actually hear the story of Jesus Christ and will come to faith. They will believe. They'll change their ways that are so destructive to their own lives and come to Jesus Christ. A lot of times we don't like to be exposed. We don't like to be embarrassed. We don't like to be vulnerable. But in many ways, this is exactly what Jesus did. He was vulnerable, even to the point of death. St. Paul was bold, but at the same time, he was exposed. But because of what Jesus Christ did, salvation came into this world. And because of what St. Paul did, proclaiming that salvation, many, many, many people, probably including us, have come to faith because that gospel message has been passed down from one generation to another, from one neighbor to another. It's been shared in households and in communities. We speak because we believe. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.